You're tuned to Focused on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Louis Brown. Dr. Brown is an assistant professor with the University Health Science Center of Houston, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the research that he's doing. It's Public Health Week next week, but also there's a lot of stuff going on at the Health Sciences Center here in El Paso. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you've been here for 7 years, and you migrated here from Maryland. If you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about your background.
Sure. I grew up in the suburbs of D.C. in Maryland, and then studied psychology at the University of Michigan, and then got a doctoral degree in community psychology at Wichita State University. Then I skipped around to Johns Hopkins for a postdoc, Penn State for a research faculty position before coming here.
So not only have you bought the T-shirt, you've been around the block and have done a lot of work. And what stuck out in my mind right now is when you mentioned community psychology. What is that?
So community psychology, I would say, is psychology's version of public health, whereas public health is really an outgrowth of the medical field and focused on the health of the population. Community psychology is, of course, grows out more out of clinical psychology, but is more focused on the health of communities.
And there are, as you and I were discussing earlier this morning, there are some misconceptions about psychology, but also public health. And if you wouldn't mind sharing with us what exactly public health defines.
So I think key to understanding public health is really thinking about the health of a population rather than of an individual. And it's really about understanding, you know, both the spread of disease and disability and health problems within a population, and then how to prevent those from developing. So it's really population and community level interventions that you're thinking about doing to promote health. Epidemiology is kind of the classical paradigm of public health. You know, that's like the outbreak of diseases and where, you know, where's the source of this disease coming from and how is it spreading? And then from there, once you understand like how a disease develops, then you can think about how we're going to prevent it. But public health isn't just about infectious diseases. It's also studies cancer and how to prevent cancer or heart health related issues and the development of those problems, substance use, but also looking at like environmental factors and environmental health. So how the water quality impacts our health, air quality and other environmental factors. You know, we also look at the health policy management and how the health system is providing services and how it might be organized to be more effective to promote the health of our population. So there's a variety of angles that you can take to promote public health. And public health is very much a big picture type of approach to understanding the health of our communities.
And so there's nothing really you can pinpoint. It's like going into a library and saying, where are your novels? Well, there are different kinds of novels, and it depends on what kind of novel you want. And a few years back, I interviewed somebody from the Centers for Disease Control, and they had mentioned that El Paso area is a wonderful laboratory for doing research and other things like that because of tuberculosis, diabetes, the Zika virus that we heard about last year. Tell us a little bit about your research, Dr. Brown, and what you're doing in this community.
Sure. Well, one of the projects that I'm working on is called Healthy Fit, and that's a collaboration with the City of El Paso Department of Public Health. And that really tries to address a number of Hispanic health disparities within the context of a single effort. And we use community health workers or promotoras, and they go out into the community and do outreach with low-income populations and take them through a health screening. And then based on that health screening, they provide a number of referrals. So they will provide referrals for cancer screenings, such as breast cancer, cervical cancer, as well as vaccinations, so HPV vaccination or flu and pneumonia immunizations. And then if someone is overweight or has high blood pressure, then they receive fotonovelas, which are health education materials that are designed to be very accessible. And those talk about, you know, ways to enhance physical activity and nutrition and improve heart health, as well as we share with them a list of physical activity opportunities that are free or have a suggested donation that they can go to, and we encourage them to exercise more. And then from that list of referrals, usually someone gets one or two. Then we work with them. We use a technique called motivational interviewing to try and encourage them to follow through on one of those referrals.
How does this work, motivational interviewing?
Well, so it's really a technique to reduce someone's ambiguities that they may have about making a health decision. So trying to help someone resolve the ambiguities that they might face in being motivated to, you know, to go through with the breast cancer screening. Maybe they have some concerns about the process, or if it's, you know, physical activity, of course, you know, that requires quite a bit of motivation to develop a sustained levels of activities. And it really, for it to last, that motivation has to come from within. And so it's about helping people clarify their goals and really have their motivations come from within for them to do different health behavior activities.
Cultural things affect a lot of health issues or the way someone takes care of themselves. And I'm saying that because sometimes, you mentioned cancer, a person, woman, man, will not go and have a lump or something checked out because of their culture, because of perhaps you're not supposed to show or tell people about your breasts. You're not supposed to tell somebody about prostate. It's a macho thing. And so some of those barriers I know have been there, but you probably all have knocked down some of those barriers through these motivational interviewing and sharing stories with them.
Yeah, I think our use of community health workers or promotores is also helps with that, because these are really people of the community and that are very culturally similar to the people they're trying to reach. So they can relate to and provide support to the people that they're trying to help in a way that's much more culturally sensitive and relevant than I would be able to.
We have discussed earlier diabetes, and diabetes seems to be very prevalent here in this area. And there are a lot of misconceptions about diabetes as well, like the fact that you get it because you eat too much sugar or candy, and that could, you know, be one of the reasons, but there are a lot more things than just sugar.
Right. So I think there's a number of things you can do to help. I mean, diabetes management is its own. I mean, there's a lot that goes with that, and that's not necessarily an area which I'm particularly knowledgeable. But, you know, generally speaking, the exercise and nutrition are certainly very important components in both managing diabetes and, if you have prediabetes, preventing it from developing to type 2 diabetes.
And so diet plays a significant role in everything as well. And tell us a little bit about how these promotoras help out with, you know, people don't want to give up their traditional Mexican food dishes or traditional whatever ethnicity they are, but there are ways that they can still make those, enjoy them, and be healthy.
Yeah, so I think it's about small steps, really. It's not that you quit eating what you're used to eating. It's like you said, it's that you make adjustments. So you find ways to perhaps reduce the levels of salt, or you use healthier fats than lard, for example, or you use whole grain rather than more refined grains in the meals that you prepare. Perhaps you cut back on the amount of cheese that you put in, or other ways to reduce the levels of saturated fats.
And so what are some of the steps that you're doing as a researcher, and what have you found out from these motivational interviews and from the promotoras and other research that you've done that has helped you or pointed out to show you different things that perhaps you may or may not have been aware of?
That's a good question. I think sharing stories and being able to relate to someone, being a relevant role model, is really important and something that I've learned. And people that have the same shared experiences are much more capable of helping similar others. And so taking advantage of that, I've tried to take advantage of that in a number of different projects that I've worked on. The Promotoras being a good example, but another one in a program called Teens Against Tobacco Use, we train high school students and middle school students to deliver presentations to younger students. In that approach, we have them talk about their stories that they've faced related to tobacco. So maybe they have a family member or friend that's used tobacco and has had, you know, suffered various health consequences from that behavior. And these kids have the most amazing and powerful stories. And you hear them share them with the students in these the different classes. We're doing this with the El Paso Independent School District with help from the Paso del Norte Health Foundation. And using that as like an entry into providing more traditional health education about the harms of tobacco and, you know, some of the ways to avoid using tobacco, I think is really powerful because it just gives you this really credible role model. And because they're able to relate, that makes their message so much more meaningful and useful to the people that hear those messages.
Some of the stories that have come up before, as you just shared, is parents. They may be aware of a clinic nearby, but it's not until their children come home from school and share with them what they learned or a presentation that was given to them that opens up the eyes of the mom or dad because their son or daughter is interested in their health and wants to help mom and dad as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point. It's really important to start those conversations between parents and youth about tobacco and any other number of health issues. And so the extent to which you can engage parents in those conversations, because even in adolescence when, you know, youth are starting to develop their own identity and distancing themselves from the influence of their parents, you know, what we found in our research is that the parents, even if relations are somewhat strained, they still have a huge influence on the youth, and the youth still, you know, want their approval. And so the opinions of the parents still have a big influence at that age.
So I'm interested in a little about what you were talking about, teens against tobacco. And when these young people are trained, do they do the presentations in their own school or do they go to other schools? How does this work, Dr. Brown?
The students are trained. It's an after-school activity. So they get trained after school or on Saturdays. And they work with a teacher in their school to receive that training. And then they go to nearby schools of a slightly younger grade. So currently, Austin High School students present to Wiggs Middle School and Guillen Middle School students. And then Guillen Middle School students and Wiggs Middle School students present to their feeder elementary fourth and fifth graders.
Dr. Brown, there are a lot of things going on within your college, within your department, and next week is Public Health Awareness Week. And if you wouldn't mind sharing with us perhaps a website or somewhere that people can go to find out more about what you've been talking, discussing, and even getting involved.
Yeah, I think a good place to go is the School of Public Health's website, which is sph.uth.edu. And within that, you can look at our El Paso campus and learn more about public health, the degrees we offer, and all kinds of good stuff.
We've been visiting with Dr. Lewis Brown. Dr. Brown is an assistant professor with the University of Texas Health Sciences Center in Houston and the El Paso branch here. This is Public Health Week coming up next week. And as you heard with Dr. Brown, there are a variety of places that you can go to find out more about their research and how you can help in promoting public health. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Kim Garcia. Our producer is Daniel Paulus. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.